What's good, everybody? Friday morning, NHL Fantasy on Ice. Pete Jensen and Rob Reese here with you, joined by guest Chris Meaney from the FTN Network, FTN Bets, FTN Fantasy, the whole deal. What's up, guys?
What's up, Chris? Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. Big fan of both of you guys, following the work over the past couple of years. Very grateful to be on the podcast, talk some hockey with you guys. Thanks for having me.
Well, Chris, I saw your picks on Thursday night were rock solid. Well done there. And I think your picks have been good all season long. So why don't we just tee up this big Calgary Flames coaching change, bringing in a guy like Daryl Sutter. Are you picking them now maybe to make the Stanley Cup playoffs with Sutter's intense style right away, short boost?
I don't know. I think that they'll be there and competing for sure. I got Edmonton in and Winnipeg in and Toronto, of course, they're going to get in. So they're going to compete with Montreal. It's going to be one of the two. You know, I don't mind the coaching change. I was a little shocked when I woke up this morning and I saw that. It's like, what's going on here? Is this 2004 again? Like, what is happening here? I know he's with the Flames and they made that run. I was actually in Calgary in the Red Mile when they made that run. It was fun. It was exciting times. I'm sure the guys on the team will go for Sutter, right? He's not going to take anything. It's going to be effort all the time, attention to detail. But I just don't know, Rob. I just don't think they have the personnel. I think they need to make another move. I'd like to see them maybe acquire maybe somebody on the right side. I think ideally they would like to have maybe, you know, just Backlund on the third line, Lindholm, and then Monahan, and just roll three centers deep that way. But I'm not completely sold on this team. They've beaten the Senators a couple times recently. They've killed them, but I'm not in on them making the playoffs. I don't think that they get there.
Yeah, I mean, this team beat the Senators twice and then lost to the Senators twice. They split the four-game series. It was crazy that the firing happened after a big win. They scored 7 goals, and I think we all know they have that offensive capability. So when you see them, you know, in the bottom 10 in goals per game or around then, that was the big concern. The power play was not as dynamic as it was last season. And then all of a sudden you see the strong suit of the team become kind of mediocre, and that's why we stand where we stand right now. But yeah, Daryl Sutter, definitely want to mention that he won the cup twice, and that, you know, one significant thing if you're going out and wagering on the Flames to make the playoffs right now, decent odds as they sit in that fifth spot. I mean, they have the pedigree with Sutter. He took over in 2012 and led the Kings to the cup championship in the season in which they made the coaching change. So just like a significant note to point out here.
And I agree with Chris wholeheartedly, though, that this is a personnel problem. And when you have, you know, their need is on the first line right wing, which you alluded to, Chris, but I'm thinking, what is wrong with having Elias Lindholm in that spot on that top line, which performed so well? And what is wrong with having Backlund alongside Tkachuk? They had great chemistry for two seasons. I mean, it seems like they're trying to force this three center model. They just can't play that way. They don't have the depth. Like, let's be honest about that, right? So this is going to be a short-term boost. I would take that bet at +175 for them to make the playoffs. I think that's just good value. You might as well put a little something on that, but this isn't a short-term solution. This isn't a long-term solution. Excuse me. This is a short-term flash in the pan. I expect them to play better, play tighter hockey, but they have a lot more problems than just first line right wing too, in my opinion.
Yeah, I would agree. Again, what is this? The fourth coach, maybe fifth for Tree Living. I don't know, man. I just don't think it's the answer. It's almost like Montreal with Pete last Friday. You and I chatted together when the Habs made the coaching change, and we were wondering if that was the right move, if it was just a high expectations. I know both of those teams in Montreal and Calgary, they got to make the playoffs, and one of them only going to make it, right? And so we may see some more drastic changes in the offseason. It's tough to make a deal with everything happening. We saw Pierre-Luc Dubois, that trade, and he's got to quarantine for a couple weeks, and it's tough to give up some assets for a guy that you're not going to have for a little bit of time. So it is a good bet. It is a decent bet to make. I think it's one of the two. You got to ask yourself, do you think it's going to be Montreal or do you think it's going to be Calgary that makes the playoffs? One of the two.
Yeah, and you look at Vancouver, too, being in that same mix. They're the only one of the three that hasn't made a coaching change, but they have at least some good young players to build for the future. Of course, they're going to have to pay a couple of those guys after this year with Hughes and Pettersson and Demko. Those guys' ELCs come off the books this year after the end of the season. But yeah, I think for right now, it's like which team has the fewest amount of problems. It's probably Montreal. And one question for fantasy that I wanted to, you know, throw at you guys, like for the rest of the season, I know Jacob Markstrom's been better than Carey Price, but now that Markstrom backed up yesterday and could possibly make a return in the near future, which goalie would you rather have for the rest of the season? Markstrom, who, you know, did really well last year, of course, and led the Canucks deep in the playoffs, or Carey Price, who's probably the better goalie over the scope of his career?
What says you, Chris? I'm a little torn on this one.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I think I got to lean with Markstrom. Yeah, it's just he's at least shown us something consistently over the past couple of years where Price is we've definitely seen the best of Price. We'll say that, right? The elite years are completely over. That's a long time ago when he won the Hart, when he won the Vezina. He's going through something right now. I do think he'll bounce back, but from a fantasy standpoint, I don't think he can trust it. And there's a lot of holes right now on Montreal's blue line. This is a team that I thought they were built strong. A lot of depth. I like their six blue liners, but they're struggling right now to, you know, take care of business in their own end. And they're going back and forth with Jake Allen. I mean, Jake Allen before last night led the NHL in 5-on-5 save percentage. So there's no reason that he shouldn't be starting, you know, every other game. I would imagine we'll start to see Price get maybe two in a row here and there. But right now I would lean with Markstrom. I think he's the better fantasy asset.
I guess I'll play devil's advocate here, and I guess I'll make the case for Price in a way that now I wish I had the guts to make that trade. In one league, Markstrom has carried me. He helped me out, smooth a little goaltender issues early in the season. But Carey Price, I just think, is a guy that this storyline plays perfectly for his mindset. I really think he's going to thrive with a coaching change, with a goaltender coaching change, and with the Habs. They just have more team security. In fact, Pete, you mentioned Vancouver kind of being in a better long-term situation. I agree with that. I think if they miss the playoffs this year, which they probably will, they'll have maybe a top 10, top 15 draft pick. They'll get another great prospect in there, and then we're never going to be talking about concerns for the Vancouver Canucks again. Whereas Montreal, they have a decent future. Calgary, I'm not sure about that. So I think this season, Montreal's defense, Shea Weber, Jeff Petrie, Romanoff making a first season impact, Sheerat's a good player. I just like that situation better for Carey the rest of the season, where Markstrom, it's the same thing as last year we saw with Vancouver. He had to bail them out time and time again. And I just don't love that in fantasy unless you're counting saves and he's getting 35 a night with a 900 save percentage.
And yeah, with Calgary, I was just looking at their cup odds. I mean, I'm not getting ahead of myself here. I don't think they could win the Stanley Cup, but they did make a nice little run last year and challenge the team that won the West and the Dallas Stars. So plus 4,500, is there any appeal there before we close out this Calgary Flames book and move on to the rest of the league?
There isn't for me. No, I have a hard time finding, you know, enough reason to put my money on them making the playoffs. I don't want to take any shots here on Monahan and Goudreau. I think they're great players, but I just don't think that, you know, there's something about Goudreau and watching him in the playoffs over the past couple of years. I just don't think that they have the personnel, like what Rob alluded to earlier. I just don't see it right now. I think they need to make some offseason moves. And if this is a team that doesn't make the playoffs, or if they do squeak in and they get bounced first round by the Leafs or something, I think we'll really see a shakeup with this team. So there's no appeal for me at all. But they got the goaltending. Like, Markstrom is a strong goalie. You can make a case for them to go on a bit of a run, but not to win the cup.
Zero. And it's very hard to find a guy that can play on the right side of a top line. A ton of teams have had this problem. Look at the Pittsburgh Penguins, same type of thing, right? So moving ahead, though, Columbus Blue Jackets, Chris, is a team that Pete and I have kind of been a little wishy-washy all season. We liked them initially. We did hop off the bandwagon. Now they're kind of starting to look like that pesky team that we saw from them, shades in the past. What do you make of this team? Is that a team that you might look at the odds and say, I think they're going to recover here and make the playoffs?
Yeah, absolutely. I like this. They're plus 500 to make the playoffs. I think that's strong. I know they're four back right now of the Blackhawks. They played one more game than them, but you know, the Blackhawks have played well. I want to give them a lot of credit, but they could come back down to earth a little bit. They're competing every single night. You saw last night against Tampa, they give up the 2-goal lead and DeBrincat hits the bar in overtime. You know, it could have easily been a W for them, but I do like this Columbus team. The goaltending was shaky at the start with, you know, Corpusalo was really good last year and he was amazing in the bubble. and he's starting to turn it up a little bit lately. I'd loved the addition, you know, just to get some offense with Patrick Laine still taking some time to, you know, to get involved with his teammates, but he's starting to score some goals. It has, you know, lit a fire under Cam Atkinson, who has been much better. He was a slow starter as well. I think they're still trying to figure out what to do with Max Domi. I'm seeing him play some fourth line minutes. If they can figure out a way to get him a little bit more involved in the offense, then you got maybe three lines that can click. I like the defense. I think it's strong. You know, Seth Jones is amazing, and Werenski's been in and out of the lineup, and Savard can eat a lot of minutes for you as well and do some things. So this is a tough team, as you guys know. I mean, they hung around with Tampa Bay twice over the past couple of years. So I like them to get in. They were a team that I thought would get in. They were plus 850 to get in at the start of the season. I think it's still pretty good odds, plus 500.
Yeah, plus 500 is the same odds as the Nashville Predators and the San Jose Sharks. I mean, you could say that's a little insulting to the track record of the Columbus Blue Jackets here, because nobody ever gives them any respect. But like you mentioned, Chris, they're battle tested. They got a championship caliber coach. And if they put the pieces together, could they take down the Florida Panthers? Sure, why not? I mean, you could even do a little parlay if you wanted to and say the Panthers missed the playoffs. I believe that's about the same. So plus 500 for the Panthers to miss the playoffs, which very well could happen if they decline. And then plus 500 for the Blue Jackets to make it, because one team's going to have to come out. It's either going to be Chicago or Florida, right?
And Nashville is also plus 500 to make it, and there's no shot at that. So I'm not seeing why he wouldn't make this bet for the Blue Jackets. And I think, Chris, you brought up a great point about Chicago. They have 7 regulation wins. I think regulation wins this year is a perfect stat in a shortened season. Teams that can close out in 60 minutes are good teams. 7 regulation wins. Guess who also has 7 regulation wins? The Nashville Predators and the Chicago Blackhawks have played an additional game. So I do think Chicago is going to regress. I like the team. I love the Lankinen storyline, but Brent Seabrook retired this morning. I mean, not that he was playing, but still, it's just this team is changing. The guard is changing in Chicago. They're due for some regression. That's why I would absolutely hammer the plus 500 for the Blue Jackets play.
Yeah, I think it's a good play. And, you know, we talk about Laine, but Roslovic too, like that's a nice sneaky addition. It's kind of just like almost like he was thrown in there, and he's a guy that, you know, I talked about Atkinson getting going, and the fact that they're playing together, and they've kind of created a little bit of chemistry there. And I'm waiting for Bjorkstrand to get going and score some goals. He potted one last night too. So yeah, I think you're spot on with Chicago regressing a little bit and Columbus just you know, a strong push here in the last few weeks.
Speaking of Chicago, if you look at the about the midseason point, like the MVP odds and just MVP chances in general, of course, you're going to look at McDavid and Austin Matthews and players of that ilk. But like to me right now, if the Blackhawks are going to make the playoffs, like how could you say it's not Patrick Kane? I know that DeBrincat has been largely responsible as well, but it turns out that he's on Patrick Kane's line. That's no coincidence, right? So, and I was talking with Bobby about this, how the odds have shortened over the past week or so with Chicago just continuing to keep it going here. So like, is Patrick Kane your MVP pick right now? Or do you think there's like some other sneaky guy that could come in and take it?
Yeah, I'll jump in here. I think he is. I think if the season ended right now, he would be. The one issue that I have is what Rob is talking about, regressing. If they miss the playoffs, is he still an MVP? It's tough, but right now, 35 points is tied with Drysdale. He's 4 back of Connor McDavid. He's been absolutely everything. And I know even myself included when Kirby Dach's not going to play. Oh, Taves, is he going to play this year? I got to bump down Kane a little bit in my fantasy rankings. Like how great is he going to be? And he's been unbelievable. He's been so good. So absolutely. I've noticed his odds have changed quite a bit too. I mean, he was 24-1 just I felt like just a few days ago, and he's always just plus 750 right now. So absolutely, he would be my MVP, because you look at the other stars, like Matthews having a great year, Drysdale, McDavid, they all have superstars surrounding them. There's a lot of talent on those teams. Like true MVP for me would just be a guy carrying his team. Like I thought Nathan McKinnon a couple years, I thought he should have been the MVP. It was just basically him carrying his team to the playoffs. This is what I feel like with Patrick Kane right now. So absolutely, I would agree with you, Pete.
I think it's true. I mean, and if they make the playoffs, it's 100% lock for Kane. So if you like that, then you absolutely should place the bet. I just think that it's unlikely that they will be in the postseason. And I think it's kind of the same situation, you know, as Vancouver. If they make the playoffs this year, it's almost a little bit of a disservice to their future outlook. So I think Chicago would really benefit from a mid-round first pick or even higher. And it's kind of like forcing it just a little bit. I like the storyline, like I said, but that is not a bet that I would place. I think it's got to be Austin Matthews for MVP. This is a player in the North Division that is just, this team is steamrolling. It doesn't matter who they play. Even if the matchup's a little stale, they've played Edmonton how many times in a row, whatever, they're still performing every single night, and it's led by Matthews. And he's really exploded onto the scene this year. If he can remain healthy the rest of the season, as the go-to guy there, it's no question he's the number one, and John Tavares is now in the shadow.
Yeah, and just the fact that they did that, dismantled Edmonton. I know they had Freddie and, of course, Matthews back for the third game, but that clean three-game sweep, two of the games with some backups in net, that was very impressive for sure. I know they lost to Vancouver, but that was second of a back-to-back, so maybe you give them a little pass. They haven't had a bad game in a while, Toronto. You mentioned the Chicago chances of continuing this thing. I think like the rookie goalies have been such a big storyline this year. Kevin Lankinen, and of course, the highest ranked rookie goalie as of now. Shesterkin actually, unfortunately, got injured last night. So we'll see how severe that is. Looks like a lower body type thing. There are also some other rookie goalies this morning that are starting to make more noise. Ilya Sorokin, our guy, another win against the Sabres, but you'll still take it. And then Alex Nedeljkovic is another sneaky one that entered our top 200 rankings. Where do you stand, Chris, on some of these rookie goalies? You think like Kakanin's maybe the best one, or maybe one of the other guys I just mentioned?
Well, Sorokin's a stud. I know it was a slow start for him, and we can say whatever about Buffalo. I think it's like last time I checked, 1.28 goals for at 5-on-5 per 60 minutes was dead last, and wasn't even close. Like Nashville's the next closest team, and I think they're like 1.8. So this is a team that they just can't generate any offense. But I don't want to take anything away from Sorokin. I think he's a great goalie, and he fits in perfectly with the system that the Islanders play. But I'm really impressed with Nedeljkovic. Really impressed. And Pete, talking to you over the past few years, we've both liked this Carolina team. I don't want to speak for you, but my thing with Carolina was their goaltending. And I know Peter Mrazek started off okay, but I just not sold on Mrazek. And I know he's coming back soon, but I think they've found something here with Nedeljkovic. This is a Carolina team that I absolutely love. They own the puck. They have strong people on the blue line. And even Reimer's not playing fantastic, but he gets in there and he gets W's because Carolina's offense backs him up. But for Nedeljkovic now, it's been two or fewer goals in four straight outings. He's got the shutout in there. I know he played Detroit, but he stopped Florida, right? He made 44 or 46 saves against the Panthers. He went up against the Lightning, made 25 of 27 saves there as well. Just didn't get the run support. So I'm really impressed with Nedeljkovic. I'm expecting to lose Igor Shesterkin for a little bit. I have him in a couple spots, and I'm just quick to go and grab Nedeljkovic. Sitting here, I mean, his ownership in the last 24 hours, guys, has jumped up on Yahoo 10%, but he's only hovering around the 14% mark. He's got a 927 save percentage and a 2.26 goals against average. I'm a huge fan of his, but I wonder, like, what happens when Mrazek is ready to go, Rob? Just do they ease him back in, or they just ride the hot hand here in Nedeljkovic?
It's hard not to ride the hot hand, but Nedeljkovic is going to have a bad game, right? Like, it's not going to keep going like this. And that's when you know Mrazek's going to get the opportunity. And he was so solid to start the season. But I'm with you, Chris. I think in the long run, if you're going to put some money on them to be a Stanley Cup contender to win the whole thing, Mrazek is probably, as proven, not the guy to get you there. So it's going to be an interesting fantasy storyline. I do expect it to be a 1A, 1B scenario, and then kind of Reimer might be the odd man out, surprisingly, right? Even though he picked up a handful of wins with Mrazek out. But yeah, that's one storyline. And then also with Carolina, the reason I like them at plus 100 as a cup favorite, or plus 1200, excuse me, is that they have their forward depth is phenomenal this year. Everybody, including Jordan Staal, Nino Niederreiter, all these guys have been consistent and have found their game that we've seen from seasons past. So that's why I like Carolina a lot. I'd also throw out the Blues at plus 3,200. The Blues are a great team. And with Tarasenko coming back in the fold here, you should place that bet while you still can, while the odds are what they are.
I like that wrinkle for St. Louis. I didn't think of that one, but obviously thinking of Tarasenko coming back, but those are long shot odds. That's a good one. Yeah, Carolina, I had in the Cup final at the beginning of the season. And I mean, the goaltending for this season is still a question mark, but next year they're going to have Mrazek off the books and they're going to have Reimer off the books. So to me, Nedeljkovic has proven that he could be the goalie. They might not have to go out there and get some other goalie if he's already sitting there. Maybe they could bring back one of the two. I mean, you're probably not winning the Cup with James Reimer. Let's be real. No, he's a steady goalie in his career, but he's had a lot of bad moments, you would say, for sure. I mean, and then Mrazek has won them some rounds the past couple of years in the playoffs. You got to give him credit for that. Maybe they could win it with Mrazek and then one of the other two guys chipping in along the way with some spot starts to boost the team. But the goaltending doesn't look like a glaring weakness right now in Carolina, which we thought it was. We thought that would be the only thing that would derail them. So that's a plus. Plus 1,200. Take it.
Yeah. And, you know, over at FTMBets.com, we have a free prop shop where you just type in a team, you type in a player, and you get the best possible odds. I was looking this morning and you could still get them in some spots like plus 14. And so I think it's a strong bet. I think it's only going to continue like plus 1,200, like 12-1. I think, you know, that could get to 800 or 700 if they just continue to roll. And Rob is spot on with their depth. They are just absolutely loaded on offense. Martin Natchez, like, it's a coming out party for him, a breakout. Like, this guy is an absolute stud as well. So yeah, I'm all for it. And I love the Blues call. I put them in last night, Rob, over at FTN, the bet tracker. That is, those odds are so long, and it's not even that big of a long shot. Are you kidding me? They just won the Cup a couple years ago. And it reminds me, because they were roughly around the same odds around January when they made the coaching change and they were one of the worst teams in the league. And all of a sudden they just turned it up. All the guys started off slow. It was a slow start for O'Reilly. It was a slow start for Tarasenko. Tarasenko, as you alluded to, Pete, not with the team, skating with the team, probably going to come back soon. They still have the personnel. I think Binnington has been hot and cold. They need him to get going. I think they're trying to adjust without Pietrangelo in their life, but this is a team that's absolutely, there's no way they should be that, you know, that long. I think the only reason they are is because they're playing in a division with Colorado and Vegas, and they're going to have to go through one or both to get by.
And that's what it is. But I will double down on the contenders this year that have gone through a little bit of adversity, that have gotten over the bumps. And Colorado is another one, but their odds have not dropped at all. I think they're still like plus 700 or something, and you're just not getting a whole lot of value there. I still feel strongly about the team, but Pete and I were talking earlier in the week. It's just like, this team is just, there's a little something off. Now McKinnon's, you know, day to day. It's like they have to have that top line together with Landeskog, McKinnon, and Rantanen, where it's not really working there. And Nazem Kadri is one of my biggest disappointments in fantasy this season. Obviously his ADP was around 100 or a little later, so you weren't investing a whole lot, but it just doesn't seem to make too much sense to me why their depth is not really contributing this season as to Carolina's, who's exploding. So that's one storyline I think in fantasy that has been a little bit frustrating. Again, it's not going to hurt their chances of winning a Stanley Cup. I think they're going to figure it out. But as a fantasy manager, that's been one of my biggest frustrations.
Yeah, I think the thing that made them so dangerous in the playoffs last year was that Kadri and Burakovsky were both producing at like point per game clips. So can they rediscover that thing? That's going to be the challenge. If they can't get secondary scoring, they can get their every other game 3 or 4 point night from McKinnon or Landeskog like the other night, or Rantanen, but you're going to need more than that. You're going to need more than Grubauer being an elite number one goalie. You're going to need some of these other guys to start chipping in. And it's the same story with Colorado so far. I would still say give them some time, but if it's not McKinnon out, it's Makar out. If it's not him out, then Landeskog's on the COVID list, or, you know, whoever else is banged up. Burakovsky was banged up earlier in the year. So give them a little bit of time. I still do think there is a slight glimmer on McKinnon plus 1900 to win the Hart Trophy. If he can get this thing going, that's one thing. Remember last year with Kucherov, like we were saying, oh, he's had a slow start to the season, but he's still better than a point per game. I've heard so much talk about McKinnon not living up to expectations with what, 22 points in 19 games. I mean, if that's bad, how good is the good going to be? right?
Yeah, maybe the bar set too high for Nate McKinnon. Yeah. He's underwhelming, Nate McKinnon, point per game guy. I agree with both of you guys again. with what Rob said, it's the secondary scoring. Like, I just think Kadri needs a little bit of help. He needs the goals from Burakovsky. Like, Brandon Saad is, you know, he's a great 5-on-5 player and he's had his moments, and I think he's going to be a great addition come playoff time. I think that's where he's really going to show his true colors and what he's going to provide to this team. But they need goals from Burakovsky. They need goals from Donskoy. They need other people besides line number one and their amazing power play to step up, because Grubauer has been great. He's been awesome this year. We know about their blue line. They have a lot of just great defensemen with offensive upside. So they need a little bit more. I watched them the other night against the Sharks and they lose 6-2. And my difference between them and Vegas is the Golden Knights just seem all business. I just can't see them losing a 6-2 game to a team like San Jose. Maybe they lose tonight to the Sharks 6-2. But you know what I mean? Like, they just seem all business, experience on the blue line too. And I just think that when it comes to both of those teams and splitting hairs, it's the secondary scoring and the experience that Vegas has, where some of these kids in Colorado, they're great, but they have their moments where they just kind of disappear. And I think that's why they've been a little underwhelming so far this year.
Yeah, and Nas does have 6 points in his past 4 games, so I think he is getting it going. And watch out if that secondary scoring does get going. That team is going to steamroll in the second half. But for Vegas, Chris, while we have you on, I wanted to ask you about a guy like Chandler Stephenson. He's out there on almost every one of my waiver wires, kind of surprisingly, with his top line placement for the team. Do you like a guy like Chandler Stephenson? The only reason I'm skeptical of picking him up, I would have already. I'm in a faceoff league that I need more faceoff wins, but it just seems like he doesn't get the production. Even when like Mark Stone has like a 5-point night or something, you still see some double zeros in the stat column for Chandler. So I'm a little skeptical. I'd like to hear why I should pick him up though. I would like to make that move.
Yeah, I'm with you. This is a guy that I drafted late in a couple spots and I cut my ties with him early, because you just can't afford the 5 or 6 games where he doesn't hit the score sheet, as you know, you're pointing out. And I think that's why you're a little skeptical and picking him up. And I think that's fair. He's looked great though. He really has. They got that top line back together now with Mark Stone and Pacioretty. And you know, just the mix up there for a couple games, it seems that now William Karlsson has gotten going and Marchessault got the goal. And now that line is back together with Riley Smith, and it kind of lit something under Alex Tuck. I think if you need the faceoffs, sure. I mean, he's a guy that's getting at least six faceoffs. He had double digit faceoffs a couple days ago. He's not on that. Sometimes he's on that number one power play, but Glass has looked pretty good on that power play. I think that's the one issue. You'd like to see him produce a little bit more offensively on the power play. I know he does have 3 power play points over his past 10 games, but that's the one difference that I have. But you know, I think he's a borderline top 12 ad as a streamer guy. And you know, you're playing a team like the Sharks. You got back-to-back games here. You're going to play San Jose tonight. You're going to play San Jose tomorrow. I think it's you know, pretty good spot when you're playing the Sharks, or you're playing, you know, I guess Minnesota's tightened up a little bit defensively, but that's a matchup that I don't mind as well. I mean, he had the 3 points in the 2 games. So I'm not totally in on Stephenson in a standard 12 team league, but I think in a 14 team, he's got the upside just because of, you know, who he plays with.
I'd be probably more interested in Cody Glass just for his upside over the rest of the season. If he could somehow get into that top 6, whether it's like line changes or an injury in front of him, we'll see. But I just, I would probably lean with him. He's actually had some good games lately and plays with Tuck a decent amount. Tuck, by the way, I was looking this morning, only 29% rostered. I mean, wake up, people, right? Like, how long have we been talking about Alex Tuck? We had him as a sleeper. I mean, he's been producing. He's got 5 goals in his past game, 5 games. He's got like 13 points in 16 games on the season with good category coverage. I would go as far to say he's becoming a must roster player in almost every format out there, not just standard leagues. But anyway, and then another big storyline with Vegas is like when Robin Lehner comes back. I know a lot of people are, you know, disappointed in Robin Lehner. Now he's been banged up, slow start to the season. Fleury looks like maybe the best goalie in the league, but I think there's a second half and a second chapter to the season coming up where Lehner can definitely narrow the gap and maybe reemerge as an elite goalie. Would you buy low, either of you or both of you, on Robin Lehner?
Yes, 100%. That's one of my, that would probably be my top move to make right now, Pete. I'm in the same position as Chris with Shesterkin a little bit banged up. I had to throw him on IR plus this morning. So if I could make a deal to acquire Robin Lehner, I 100% would. Now, is that a little risky for the regular season? I think so, just because Fleury has been dominant. Now in the playoffs, I'm convinced that Fleury will have a bad game. They'll go to Robin Lehner and he will run away with it. But we need value in fantasy now. So I would still make that move if you are a little thin at the goalie position. But Chris, I think you know too, like everybody, it seems like, is a little bit thin this year.
Oh yeah, it's tough. Goaltending is extremely tough. Yeah, a lot of the guys that were drafted earlier, like Leonard, like Hart, even Price, right? These guys, what are you doing with them? Are you hanging on? I'm not really into buying Leonard, but I think you said it perfectly, Rob. If you're thin, and I guess even at the same time, if you're thin, you need goaltending right now. But if you got a couple goalies where you think, like if you're riding Nedeljkovic and you think you're a little worried about Mrazek, or you just had Shesterkin, or some goalies that are maybe just playing a little bit over their head, right? And you're just struggling in net to find some consistency. I think Leonard could be cheap. Heck, man, he might even be on the waiver wire. He may pick him up. Like, I know that he was hanging around one of my waiver wires as well. And, you know, I added him and stashed him, and that's great. But I don't know. I think that Fleury should start in the playoffs. I think he should be the yeah. guy. Am I alone here? I'd like the Leonard addition last year, and it's like I'm looking to the future. Fleury's a little older. I didn't think that Fleury should have lost his job last year. As good as Leonard was, he was great. He was phenomenal, and he was great when Vegas made the change. But Fleury is really good too, and he has been awesome this season. So what's best case scenario here for Leonard when he comes back? Game for game? Game for game? That's great. You get some W's, that's fine. Maybe they make that switch into the playoffs. Maybe they ease back a Fleury a little bit when Vegas is locked into a playoff spot and they start to get Leonard a couple more games. But, man, Fleury's just been so good for me. I just feel like he sticks in that net.
I get what you're saying for sure. Like, what's the realistic upside? One or two starts a week at best? I mean, with Fleury still in the picture, and well, you're getting one start a week from Nedeljkovic and Sorokin right now, and sure, maybe even better quality than you would be getting from Leonard based on the early season sample size. So some good points made there for sure. And speaking of the playoffs, like, and other teams out there that maybe do the goalie tandem type thing and have done it well, the Islanders are one team. Like, not everybody could do it like the Islanders did, where you could have Thomas Greiss last year come in and start a game 7 and get a shutout. I mean, it just doesn't work like that historically for goalie tandems. But the Islanders, I did notice, another team that you could say deserves much better respect, more respect than they're getting, plus 2,400 to win the Stanley Cup. To me, like, they're getting close to maybe that top five conversation of teams that are built to win it. And we've seen them go further and further each year. And I think their goalie tandem's even better than the past. And they got the center depth to rival any team out there. So, I mean, is there a case for the Islanders to win the cup, like to go from conference final to cup final and maybe do this thing?
There is. I mean, that's a team you do not want to face in the postseason. It happens every year, especially with a Barry Trotz team. He will find a way to outcoach whoever the coach is. I don't care about the division, the realignment, none of that. I think it doesn't matter for this Islanders team. I think it affects certain teams like the North Division. I think they will be at a disadvantage in that scenario. The Islanders will be battle tested. And the fact that they have hung around in the East Division so far with less scoring talent than a lot of those teams says everything to me that this team is legit. They've got another 1A, 1B now that Sorokin's playing better. That's a good tandem there. I don't think I would put money on them winning the cup, though. I just don't see them having the pieces. Like, for example, if we're talking about Vegas and they win the cup, we'll all be saying, well, it's funny they won the cup because Chandler Stephenson was their number one center, and this is a copycat league. I think the league will be like, okay, we don't need centers anymore, and it'll change the whole dynamic. We need wings now, right? So this Islanders team, though, does have better centers, but I just can't see them having the goal scoring that you need in a big game, especially on the power play. I think that's what would stop me from making that bet, Pete.
I think it's a decent long shot, Pete. I have come around a little bit on the Islanders. That's what Rob just said, was kind of how I felt about them over the past couple of years. Is, yeah, great coaching. They're really stingy. They don't give up a lot. They're strong in goal. But when they need to score a goal, where is it going to come from? But the offense has been, I loved the addition last year of Jean-Gabriel Pageau. It makes them really deep down the middle of the ice. And then Oliver Wallstrom, he looks like a player, man. He's got a heck of a shot. He's getting a little bit more ice time. He's giving them a little bit more on the power play, right? That's what we're talking about here. Where's the goals going to come from? Where's the offense going to come from? He's given them a little bit more. Yeah, I mean, I was really impressed when they beat the Penguins a couple of years ago, right? They went up against Pittsburgh, and I thought, can they compete offensively? And they did. I mean, they were great in that series. So I think that it's a good bet. But when they play if it comes down to the Final Four, for if they got there, and then they have to play a Vegas, or they have to play a Colorado, they have to play a Leafs team, then I think that's where maybe, you know, at that point maybe you could hedge. But I think it's a good long shot bet at 24-1.
I would say, Pete, that I would almost rather put something on Boston or Washington just because it's coming down to the scoring. I mean, I like the Islanders goaltending almost better than both of those teams I just said, but still, I think you just need that extra chip of offense. Hopefully Wahlstrom is that guy, but that's my only concern.
Yeah. And in our top 200 rankings, which you can find NHL.com/fantasy, the Islanders, and in your team power rankings, Robbie, they're going to be on the rise big time, because last week, they only had three players in the top 200. It was Varley, their MVP so far, Anders Lee, and Matt Barzell. And now you add five more to get them to eight in the top 200 in just 1 week. What a night and day difference. So Pageau, Wahlstrom, Letty, Ryan Pulock, and Sorokin, who we've been praising again. But, I mean, that's some serious depth. I mean, you look at the top teams around the league. They got, 10, 11 players in the top 200? So the Isles are getting there slowly but surely.
So fan question here before we wrap up, Chris. Somebody asked, with the Montreal coaching change, do you think it's time to get rid of guys like Petrie or Toffoli? I mean, I don't know. I think I'd hold. If you didn't sell high when you had the opportunity, Toffoli looks like he's playing better now. What do you think?
Yeah, I think you just hold. I mean, if we're looking at an 82-game season, then we probably think about maybe selling high, and we'll see the regression. But in a shortened season and the way that the goals are flying around in the North Division, I don't see a reason to sell these guys. I mean, Petrie, 21 points. He's just behind Quinn Hughes among the leaders for defensemen. He's always been a great fantasy asset if you're playing in leagues with shots and hits and blocks. He's a top 20 defenseman for the past 3 or 4 years now. So I have no issue holding on to him. I think he's great. And for Tyler Toffoli, my one thing about him, I like that he's on that line with Suzuki right now on that second line with Jonathan Drouin. But when Anderson comes back, does Toffoli drop to that third line with Kotkaniemi and Yoel Armia? He gets lost on that third line, still on the first power play unit. But he's been an absolute beast here over the past three games without Anderson in the lineup. We've been nailing his shot props 2.5. I would just hold, right? I mean, the Canadians have played fewer games than everybody in that North Division. They have some games to make up. They're still going to play the Canucks a couple more times, so Toffoli should pot a couple against Vancouver. But jokes aside, I mean, I think I would just keep these guys, right? Like I said, it's a shortened season. There's lots of goals in the North Division. He's still on that top power play. Petrie still as well, logging a lot of minutes. Who are you selling them for? Are we selling these guys to try to buy low on Amika Zibanejad, who, what did he do, play 13 minutes last night? I just don't think I'm selling in a short season. We're already past the halfway point in fantasy hockey and head-to-head leagues until playoff time. We only have 5.5 weeks left. So you can't be messing around with guys who are producing on your team. I would hold them.
Yeah, I think the guys with high shot volumes like Toffoli, I know you're big on the shot props, Chris. Anybody who's playing those, especially up in Canada, has to follow Chris at Chris Meany for sure. But yeah, Toffoli top 20 in the league in shots per game, shots on goal. And then some other guys out there, even Atkinson, like he's scoring every game now. He's, you know, into double digits in goals on the season. Chris Kreider hit 10 the other day and then had a hat trick. So now he's, you know, must add player again for the Rangers. Playing on a line with Ryan Strome in the interim while Panarin is still on the leave of absence, but he's delivering here. And yeah, I think like, even if you're dealing with a high shot volume guy or a category coverage guy like Kreider, hold on to them, even if their team is a fringe playoff team, because you know, every other night they're going to be delivering for you with the volume. Most players, if a guy's averaging 2 shots per game, let's say, and then his team goes into a dry spell, he's going to get you a lot of zeros, but Kreider won't get you zeros. Atkinson certainly won't either. And Toffoli is the same type of thing. That's what's going to give him a chance, at least, to continue what he started so far this season.
Well, and you don't have to press the panic button with any one of those players, as you just mentioned, Pete, because they're ADP. You drafted them pretty late anyway, right? It's not like a Zibanejad where you're pretty frustrated at this point. It's not like a Carter Hart where you took him in the first three or four rounds. Like, that's when I think fantasy managers press the panic button, because it's like, I've got nothing from this, you know, player. But then Carter Hart gets dropped, I would pick him up, and then I would probably benefit from that move. Same thing if Zibanejad gets dropped, someone else picks him up, and then they start playing better. That's always how it goes in the fantasy land.
There's a lot of players like that, Pete. You mentioned Kreider, and you're spot on too, Rob, with that analysis. People tend to panic with those top picks that they made, right? And I'm fine with buying a Mika Zibanejad, even though I'm a little concerned. He just hasn't looked all that great. But, you know, when there's a player of, you know, he scored 41 goals last year, and if there's somebody, like if you have Mika Zibanejad, I would suggest probably just holding on to him, because you're not going to get the proper return, the proper value. You just don't want to give him away, and you just don't want to drop him for your league mates. But if you saw him on the wire, you got to pick him up because you know the upside. But Pete, you bring up Chris Kreider. I mean, yeah, he's now getting owned. I'm looking now, he's the seventh most added on Yahoo as of today, but he was dropped, right? Struggling. William Karlsson, another guy who was just dropped. His ownership is sub 50%. These are players we've seen before what they can do. And for Kreider, when he's not scoring, he's shooting or he's hitting. So he's at least doing something for you. When you were talking about Chandler Stephenson, Rob, he's not shooting that much. He's got 22 shots in the year. So when he's not scoring, he's not contributing. You better hope he's winning you double digit faceoffs if you need him for faceoffs, because if he's not going to give you any points, then, you know, he's not going to really be a huge asset to you.
Hey, so Chris, heading into the weekend, one fan was asking, like, what are some of your picks? What are some of your bets? I know that you host a great fantasy hockey / betting podcast, Fantasy Hockey Picks and Bets. Go ahead and subscribe to that to listen to more of Chris. But what are some of your best plays, either for DFS or game picks or prop bets, heading into the weekend that you talked about that on that show earlier today?
Yeah, today we had Cam Stewart on, and he was all about the SJ Sharkey, which kind of threw me off a little bit because I like Vegas tonight. I have no problem going back to a guy like Pacioretty in the shot prop world. 3.5 shots. It does seem a little high, but Patches is what I like to call a puck hog. He's a volume shooter. He loves to shoot the puck. This is a guy who's averaging 4.4 shots per game. He's got 14 over his past two games. So I really like him in the shot prop world. Kaprizov is plus money at 2.5. Matt Zuccarello is 1.5, his shot prop today at minus 110. I like that one quite a bit. I really like the Wild lately. When Zuccarello was back into that lineup, it's really given them a couple lines. It's made their power play look pretty dangerous with Fiala on there. It all correlates pretty well in the DFS world if you want to go with Matt Dumba. So tonight, I like the Wilds. I like Vegas to score some goals. And I think you just need to be a little unique and different in your DFS. You're playing over on FanDuel. And, you know, everyone's going to go to Pacioretty and to Mark Stone. But, you know, William Karlsson has shown up lately. I mentioned Marchessault finally hit the score sheet. Riley Smith is somebody that nobody wants to play because he's been struggling, but the trio back together, they're all in the second power play unit, so it correlates pretty well. So I'd like that line just to be a little different in tournaments. But for the shot props, yeah, I mean, Zuccarello, Kaprizov, go back to Rantanen, and again, it continues to work out, averaging 3.3 shots per game. And if you're looking ahead to tomorrow, Winnipeg and Montreal, Toffoli is another guy who continues to get there. Connor, Ehlers, these guys, just when they're averaging over 3.5 shots per game and you see their prop at 2.5, I think you just jump on it. If it doesn't work out, you can continue to go back. But my biggest thing with these shot props, guys, and you know this, is just I'm trying to find trigger men on the power play. I like where they're set up. Connor and Ehlers playing on the same line together with Pierre-Luc Dubois, and you'd think, oh, they're both of them are not going to get there. They did last night. Overtime helped. But they're on separate power plays, and their trigger man's on their power plays. Scheifele and Wheeler, they play catch. They play catch, and they shift it over to Connor. Same thing with Ehlers. He just, on that half boards, he circles back on the blue line, and he takes that shot. So he's the trigger man on the second power play. So if you're looking at these shot props, try to stay away from the pass-first guys and look at the guys who are getting the power play time and who are the trigger man who are shooting on the power play. So I haven't looked too much at the schedule for tomorrow, but Winnipeg and Montreal, those three guys definitely will stand out to me tomorrow.
I'd probably rather play shot props tonight, Pete, than anything on the board. I mean, the Kings plus 120 at home, like that's okay, but the Blues are due for a big game. Coyotes plus 120 at home, like that's decent too. But again, betting against the Wild right now doesn't seem like the most sensible choice.
No, and I would expect them to start Kaapo Kähkönen. I mean, they started. I was kind of surprised that they started Cam Talbot in both of those games against Vegas, and they lost both of them. But this could be a nice bounce back, and Kähkönen is our DFS goalie of the night if he gets the call. He's won five in a row. His save percentage is above 920 on the season, so we really like him. I still like him more than Talbot for sure. That's another rookie goalie, like we said. This is one of the best season of rookie goalies that I could remember in the past decade or so. So it's a good trend. Try to get one or two of them on your fantasy teams. And Chris, thanks so much for joining us, man. Really great stuff. And yeah, Chris covers other sports too. He covers football and you know, other sports really well as well. But hockey, I think, is your favorite, Chris. So it's great to finally have you on the show.
Yeah, the Canadian in me, I definitely love some hockey. Yeah, we're gearing up over to FTN with baseball. Is going to, you know, happen in a few weeks. But yeah, appreciate you guys having me on. Big fans of both of your guys' work and the show. So yeah, thanks so much. Anybody has any questions about they want to get involved over at FTNBets.com, you can use the promo code MEANIE. We got the free parlay calculator and the prop shop over there to have some fun with that as well. And if you're looking to get involved with some shop props, you know, any questions, always reach out at Chris Mee on Twitter, and you know, I'll be there to answer them and hopefully help you out.
Well, thanks again, Chris. And we will be back with everybody Monday morning with Waiver Wire James. So in the meantime, leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, and we'll talk to you soon.